We'd like to welcome everybody here today for our Bible study as we continue in 1 John. And we'd especially like to say hi to Donna and to Bruce Osher, as we know that you are probably in Arizona or you're on your way. We're not sure.
On their way.
But we do miss you from being here. And we hope that you have a really hot Arizona time down there, and we'll enjoy the snow here whenever it comes. No snow here yet, though. Okay, let me just stop this here. All right, Sharon and Cheryl Ramsey just made it. They're on Ramsey time today. Just wanted you to know that. Talking to Bruce and Don. So, all right, we are on the review of last week. The first one says, 1 John is an excellent book for people who are having doubts about their faith. How can 1 John help somebody who's having doubts? This is something that you just have to come off the top of your head. You won't find it looking in the Bible.
Love.
Okay. Love who?
Jesus.
Okay.
Love Jesus. Love others.
Jesus and others.
Anything else? I should say it's good to have those in Marshall, North Dakota listening too. Hey, Coco. Glad you're listening in. As well as whoever listens. We'd like to hear from you so we know who listens. Okay, go ahead.
Think of others instead of yourself.
Yep.
Be generous.
Yep.
Think of their needs instead of always self needs.
Okay, good. Good, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Think of others versus yourself. What is it that John wants the believers to see? What's important, you know? Why does he write this epistle?
To keep them from being swayed by the Gnostics.
There you go! Yes, Bobby. It's really to keep them from being led astray.
By the
Gnostics.
It almost sounded like, sorry, my mouth is with Nazis. It
The Gnostics are causing some confusion amongst the early church.
How do you spell that again?
G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. Gnostics.
Okay, say that once more.
G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S.
C-S.
That's Gnostics.
Okay.
Plural. All right, so I mean, you find that in chapter 3, verse 7 is really the reason why John is writing this letter. He just says he does not want to let anyone be led astray. By the who? The Nazis? No, the Gnostics. Let's go to number 3. John is not telling the believers anything that they haven't heard before. What does he emphasize that they have heard from the beginning? What is it they know this already? He's not saying anything he hasn't heard before. Kathy, you can say the word. To love. Love God and to love your neighbor. Really is kind of is what they've always heard from the beginning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's what they've heard from the very beginning, even in the Old Testament. And the last review question here is, what is a command and not an option for believers? What is a command and not an option for believers?
To love.
Who?
Jesus and yourself.
To love other believers. To love other Christians. We're commanded to love them. It's not an option. Now, the Gnostics would probably say that it's optional. But here John is saying, hey, no, love your brothers, you love your sisters in the Lord Jesus. Okay, now we turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John 3, 17. What is the question dealing with in this verse? What is the question? Why don't somebody just read verse 17 of chapter 3?
If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?
Okay, thank you there, Jan. Mm-hmm. So what's the question dealing with here in this verse?
Sharing with others, helping
others. Well, sharing with others. It's meeting needs of other people. If you have the ability to help in meeting that need, of course you got to be, you know, wise with those kinds of decisions too. Because there are some people out there that are just out there to get you. And you don't help them sometimes by giving them things either. But
that's what our daily bread today. That's what that's about.
Oh, is that right? Okay, good. So he's talking about material possessions, things that we have, and if you, and especially, it's kind of like looking at other believers. You know, it's kind of like the church is to take care of its own people. This is before government got involved and you have welfare and all these things. It is to really help people. If there's a need and you can help, you know, as a believer, that's what you do. And, it, you know, it's to be done. How should it be done? Let everybody know what you're doing? It should be done, yeah. Discreetly. You know, and it's like nobody else has to know, really, either. So, okay, let's go on to verse 18. Someone want to read verse 18?
Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with actions and in truth.
Okay. That's a good verse there. What does John call those who hear or read this letter? Remember, what does he call them?
Dear children.
Yeah, he calls them dear children. Other places he calls them what? Sometimes it's dear friends, you know? It's just kind of some words of endearment. That he refers to them as children. Now this is what you need to pay attention to here. And he said, and he'll say that in a very, very kind way. And he doesn't want them to take his words, but to just take it for what it is.
There's a saying, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The best sermon is what kind of a sermon?
Short.
Yeah, I didn't expect that one. Yeah. That was Bobby Barry saying short, in case you didn't catch that. That was good, though, Bobby. That's good.
My own opinion is matching biblical knowledge, God's words, with present time. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
You can relate to the present time, and it's spoken in the Bible.
Yep, you see it. You make the connection. And, you know, it is, I mean, what it says there, it really is true. You know, the best sermon is one that is also lived versus one that is just talked. You know, lip service versus actions. Faith versus a living faith kind of thing. Okay. Let's go to number 19. Someone will read verse 19.
This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence.
How do we know that we belong to the truth? I got to kind of put into context what we've had here before. Context is what comes before, kind of what comes after. It just depends what's being said here. How do we know that we belong to the truth?
By watching others. By observing others, you know.
It can be for just generosity. Yeah. You know, your willingness to help others. There again, actions are better than lip service. But being generous. Is that something that is natural? Does it come natural for you to be generous? Or sometimes, I mean, for some people it can be easier than others. But naturally, we're not. We are kind of known as stingy people. Can be stingy, can be selfish kind of a thing. We just kind of keep what we have. Don't share it with anybody either. God makes a difference in our lives when it comes to being generous. I've come across people in my lifetime where they go like, hey, everything I have, it's God's. If you need something, come and get it. Or ask me and I'll help you with it type of thing. But don't go out and buy anything because I have everything. So I go like, wow, I never heard that before. And so those are very teachable moments that you have in your life, because sometimes it happens or you hear those words in times you don't expect them, even from people you don't expect them from. That was always reassuring. Hey, don't go out and get something. Ask me first. If I've got it, I'll let you use it. Okay, number 4, 320. This one's a little harder one here. I just wrote this question here just for a conversation with the group here. Is there a difference between conviction and condemnation? Is there a difference? Yes, no, not sure. That's what those letters mean there at the end of the question.
Yes.
We say yes. You want to explain your answer? Cheryl, I'll let you do that.
Conviction is when you're convicted of your sin.
Okay.
But condemnation, there is no condemnation in us.
Though they're in Christ Jesus, yeah. You know, it's okay to be convicted, because then we know that we need to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know? And if we receive forgiveness, then there's no condemnation, because we can be given it to the Lord. So we go to number 5. What is the context of this verse? It's dealing with what? What's being dealt with in that verse 20?
I would say, you know. If you committed
something,
a crime or a thing from others, and you know that in your heart.
There you go. That's the word right there. The heart. It's kind of dealing with the heart, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we trust our heart?
No, not always.
No, we can't always trust our heart. You know, sometimes we are hard on ourselves over things we need not to be hard on ourselves about. We can't always trust our heart. So that's where it says here, God knows the heart. Our God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So there's times you go like, well, Lord, I, you know the reason, or you know what's going on with me. You know me better than I know myself. And I just leave it there with you. But he is greater than our hearts. And I'm thankful for that, because we can really get into beating ourselves up a lot.
I like how it says in verse 19, we can set our hearts at rest in his presence.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to that one, too.
We spend a lot of time condemning ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. It does happen. Let's go on to number 6. It is verses 21 and 22. Someone will read two verses rather than just one. Sharon, you started.
Yeah. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him.
All right, the first question is very simple. What are the words of endearment in this verse?
Dear friends.
Dear friends, yep. So you kind of see it goes from dear children to dear friends. Sometimes when I give a message, you know, I kind of go, hey, friends, listen, you know, you're my friends. And try to just convey that, hey, we're all in this together. We all need the Lord in our lives and need help and whatever I'm preaching on, type of a thing. I'm not excluded. So, dear friends, what do we have when our hearts don't condemn us? Now we come to that great answer that Cheryl gave. If our hearts don't condemn us, what do we have?
Confidence.
And you think of, you know, ask whatever you want. I mean, it kind of like answers the prayer as well. We have confidence that the Lord is going to answer what we are entrusting him or asking him of. Fine, that's a two-pronged answer to that question. It's a great answer. All right, verse 23. Somebody want to read verse 23.
And this is his commands, and to do what pleases him. Oh, no. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us.
All right. We see it again, we hear it again, don't we? It says it quite a bit throughout 1 John. Okay, why is this command so important? There's a command given in this verse. Why is it so important? Okay.
I mean, you got to start there.
Yeah.
Don't believe in them.
Yep.
Your love is in your matter.
Right. In case you didn't hear Bobby, she's at the end of the table. She just says, if you don't believe in him, what's it going to matter? You know? So it's very true. To believe and to love the family of God is a sure sign of faith in ACTION. That's all cheer in the high school, remember? ACTION is action. Faith in action. When we know that we believe and we love the family of God. Sure sign of faith in action. Would the Gnostics agree with this command?
No.
No. Would the Nazis agree with this command?
No.
They would not. So, you know, the Gnostics, they would say, is, you know, if we asked, is Jesus the Christ or the Messiah? The Gnostics would answer that with, no way. He's not who he says he is. Would they acknowledge him as the Son of God? They'd say, no, he's not the Son of God. Would they say that Jesus is God? You know, did he come in the flesh? Did God come in the flesh? Do they believe in the incarnation? And would that be no? They don't believe that. So what pleases God? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wasn't going to say no. But David Jeremiah this morning talked about flesh. He was talking about flesh. So did you hear that?
Yes.
So if you take the word flesh and take off the H, then spell backwards, what's it say?
Oh, self.
And that's living by the flesh, living for self.
I haven't heard that.
That's
good. Well, me neither, so it's just
repeat. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Flesh, self. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. That's good. That's why it's good to come here. We learn things from each other as well. So when it comes to pleasing God, what pleases him? Get to circle one. It's a multiple choice, a multiple guess. And if you get this wrong, you're staying after class.
Well, weren't the first two obtained from that?
You can only do one. You only can pick one.
Places gotta be B then.
Yeah.
It is B, as in Bob Floss. B. Or in Bruce Ogier.
Yeah.
B. Placing our faith in him. The A was doing good things. B is placing our faith in him. C is disobey God's commands. D is none of the above. The answer is B, placing your faith in him. Number 10, verse 24, the last verse, chapter 3. Someone want to read that, please?
Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Good, yep. And the Spirit is referring to which Spirit?
Holy.
The Holy Spirit. You remember the day when it was always referred to as the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's more of a like a King James version, I think. The Holy Ghost has changed to the Holy Spirit because Spirit sounds better than ghost. I guess, I don't know. So how do we know that Jesus Christ lives in us? According to verse 24.
To obey commands.
When we invite him in, the Holy Spirit comes in.
Yeah.
And so we know that we're saved.
Right, right. It's simply we obey his commands. But we don't want to obey him unless the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, because he's the one that gives us the desire to become, and that's his job, is for him to make us more like Jesus. You know, and how long does that take?
Forever.
our whole lifetime, isn't it? You know? If you think you've reached the point, you've deceived yourself. I just sometimes wonder that, you know, God has patience, because you think of the patience he has to have with each one of us along the way in our lives. So some food for thought. Read Hebrews 11:6. True or false? We can please God without faith. What does Hebrews 11:6 say?
I haven't found it.
And
Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yeah. The reason that that's an important verse is because I had a guy many years ago, 3 decades ago, who came into my office having trouble at home with his wife, with the kids. And he said, my other thing is I don't know if God exists. I don't know if I even believe in God. And I said, well, what does this verse say? It's probably a good place to start. It's like, you know, I can't help you unless you first come by faith, believing that God does exist. Then I can help you if you come to that point. So I said, I want you to go home, just read this verse, reread it, and then we'll meet in a couple of days. And he came back in a couple of days, and I knew when he came into my office, the guy has changed. I could see in his eyes, I could see in his whole demeanor. I said, so tell me what happened. He goes, I read that verse. You know something? I believe that God does exist. I said, well, tell me about it. You know, so he went on and told me a little bit more about that. And I said, you know, it doesn't mean that God's going to solve all of the problems that he shared with me. But he can use them as a way of just working in your heart and in your life. You know, you haven't been the best kind of a guy. So start there. What is it that God would want you to go to him for? And what would you want God to help you change in your life? And he could answer that quite well. And I mean, it changed his whole life. He started bringing his family to church and the kids. And his wife even said he's a different man. And I just go like, wow, that's pretty good. And so I go like, how do you go from a guy who comes in and just says, I don't believe there's a God, to in just a week's time bringing his family to church, and he just is like a sponge. Just wonderful. Only thing is, I don't know what happened to the guy later on. But he was related to my first cousin got married, and she was killed in a car accident 3 days after they were married. She wasn't used to driving on a gravel road. So she hit some washboard and lost control and flipped. It was a Bronco, and she flipped it, and she died. I was the best man in her wedding. Then I had to go down to be in her funeral. But it just so happened that this guy was a cousin to this girl who was killed. And I go like, your last name reminds me of, you related to this gal? And he goes, yeah, she was one of my favorite cousins. And I go like, it's a small world. Who'd ever thought that? Well, so it was interesting. So, let me get here. So this is the starting point when it comes to talking with people about God. What is their understanding of God? Who is God? It's sometimes a place just to start. Somebody's just kind of find out where they're at. Do they believe in God? And then what is God to you? I mean, explain to me what your God is like. And yet oftentimes you'll be able to go like, well, is that really what the Bible says? There's a lot of things about God that the Bible talks about, and that's what you kind of need to come to understand and by faith come to believe in as well. So Jesus helps us to understand who God is and what he is like. So oftentimes, what I have found over the years in my life is that if you have a hard time grasping who God is, I just say, look at Jesus. Jesus helps me to understand what God is like and who he is. So when I read the Gospels, I just pay close attention to who Jesus says he is and look at what he does and how he relates to people. I go, that's God. That's what God's that. God is that much in love with us and wants to help us and will do amazing things for us if we just get out of the way and let him do it. So that's just a little tidbit. Find out where a person is at with God, and then have him explain. Well, who is God to you? Explain to me. Describe it to me. And of course, some say, like, I really don't know, but they say, well, it's a lot like Jesus. Well, they didn't have to go any further. They got a pretty good handle on that. So that's our study for today.
Hey, turn that off. Should we say hi to Elmer and Norman? Do they listen?
I don't know. Just in case Elmer and Norma listen to this, we all want to say hi to you.
Hi!
There you go. Hope that made your day. And blessings on you as well. All right. Until next time, next week, bye-bye.
I've got...